Wildwood Community Church, we are for following Jesus together to the glory of God. We're for the church, for the community, for the nations, and for the next generation. To contact us or for more information, see our website at wildwoodchurch.org.
As we open God's Word, I want us to reflect a little bit more about this deep and wide concept that we've been talking about over the last 9 weeks. This is the 10th installment in this series. And in this series, we have been seeing how Jesus has been, for 2,000 years now, building his church. Now, this is something that Jesus predicted. It's something he prophesied. We see it in the book of Matthew in chapter 16 in verse 18 when Jesus made this promise. He said, I will build my church. Not I hope to, not I might, but I will build my church, my congregation of followers, Jesus said, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Jesus was saying that there was a certain future for those who were attached to him, and that he would be building his church both deep and wide until he came again. Now, what a blessing it is for us to be a part of that movement of what Christ is doing today. And to be sure, friends, we have seen God build his church deep and wide. He's building us deep. He's maturing us in our faith in him. I mean, I want you to think back to the moment that you first learned of who Christ was, and I want you to think about what God has done faithfully to grow and develop and mature you from that time, the moment of your first belief. He's moved some away from addictions. He's moved people into a deeper faith and dependence upon him. He's involved us in his ministry, in his work. What a blessing it is to have a God who is committed to our growth and development and building us deep. But also, friends, our God is building his church wide. And this is not just something that is happening here, but it's something that's happening all over the world. Just about a week ago, I had the privilege of sharing a program with a pastor from Ethiopia who was here in Norman, and we got to spend some time interacting, and I was asking him, I said, is the church in Ethiopia healthy? Like, how is it going in Ethiopia? And he said, Pastor Mark, for the last 10 years, we have seen as a church in Ethiopia, 1,500 people a day trust in Christ. Now, that's a remarkable number. For on average, 1,500 a day for 10 years. Now, when I hear those things and I'm studying through the book of Acts, I'm like, well, yeah, that sounds about right. Because we have a God who is growing his church both deep and wide. We've experienced that. We've seen hints of it. We've seen a lot of it in our life and experience. But we certainly see it also on the pages of the book of Acts. And so this morning, what we're going to do is we're going to take a quick survey of the book of Acts to see how Jesus built his church deep and wide. If you've been with us for the last 10 sermons, then this is going to be a bit of a review. But for all of us, I pray that when we see it all together, we'll be encouraged for the work that Jesus is doing inside of his church. So what do we need to see in these passages in the book of Acts? Well, the first thing we need to see is that the church grows deep. The church grows deep. Jesus is growing his church deep. Now, what does that look like for a church to grow deep? Well, on the pages of the book of Acts, we see a number of things. One of the things that we see is that the church grows deep in its access to divine power. God is present with his people, and when he is present with his people through the work of his Spirit, then some really remarkable things happen. This is actually something that was promised by Jesus before his ascension into heaven in Acts chapter 1 in verse 8. Whenever he said to his followers, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. In other words, don't begin being the church and public witness until the Spirit comes. Why? Because we cannot be the church that Christ has called us to be apart from being dependent upon the Spirit's power. Now, when the Holy Spirit came inside of the church, what happened next? Well, a remarkable set of occurrences. You see this long list of references here on the screen, but they are all instances where the Holy Spirit's power was evident in the ministry and the work of the early church in ways that no one could deny. Now, one of the things that we need to remember is that in that first wave, in the timing of the book of Acts, There were some verifying miracles that the Holy Spirit was doing to let the whole world know that though Jesus had ascended to heaven, that he had not retired from ministry. So there were some authenticating miracles that happened in that era. But one of the things that's happened even through to today is that the Holy Spirit has stayed with God's people, including you and I, if we are trusting in Christ, so that that Spirit might empower us to do the work that God has for us in our day, in this day. So one of the things that is happening in a deep way inside of the church is deep access to divine power through the work of the Holy Spirit. Another thing when we think about the church growing deep is that the church has access to deep preaching, It's fascinating to me when you study the book of Acts to see again and again and again the pattern of God's people studying God's word. Everywhere the gospel went, there were people, whether it was Peter or Philip, or if it was Paul later on as the book of Acts develops, or many others, when they stood, they began to proclaim God's word. And they invited people to get to know who God was through the study and the proclamation of his word. We see one example of that in the city of Ephesus in Acts chapter 19 and verse 8, where it said that Paul entered the synagogue and for 3 months he spoke boldly, reasoning and persuading them about the kingdom of God. It was his habit, it was his pattern to preach the word of God. And not only did that happen in Ephesus, but as you can see from the number of references there on the screen, it also happened in Jerusalem, and it happened in Corinth, and it happened everywhere the people of God went. And so we see not only this situation of deep access to divine power, but we also see the importance of preaching that invited people to go deep in their knowledge of God. The third thing that we might see as the church grows deep in the pages of the book of Acts is that there was deep personal growth. There were individuals who were personally growing in their understanding of God and beginning to follow Christ, leading to significant life change. This happened in a number of different places inside of the book of Acts, but one of the places I want us to see is in Acts chapter 16, verses 30 through 33. This happened in the city of Philippi, and there was a time when Paul and Silas were imprisoned, and then they had a chance to share with the jailer as God released them from that time in prison, and the jailer turned to faith in Christ. We see in Acts 16, then he brought them out and said, this jailer said to them, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household." And he was baptized at once, he and all his family. See, one of the things that happens in the deep growth that Christ has inside of his church is that he is calling individuals to place their faith in him and to grow and develop in their understanding of him. It wasn't just the church holding activities, it was individual lives that were being changed. But not only do we see these three, but we also see a deep boldness amidst persecution. As the church began to grow, the same spirit, the same individuals in some instances who opposed the work of Christ and ultimately took him to the cross were some of this very same people who opposed the early ministry of the church. And so persecution became quite intense inside of the early church. But how did the early church respond to persecution? How did they respond to imprisonment and beating and in some instances martyrdom and death? Well, dear friends, they responded with boldness. I love what it says in Acts chapter 4, verse 29. When they have been released from being imprisoned for their faith in Christ, they pray to God and they say this, "And now, Lord, look upon their threats and grant to your servants," they were saying, "grant to us to continue to speak your word with all boldness." This happened throughout the book of Acts. There was no opposition too great to silence the testimony of the believers in Jesus Christ. And so what do we see inside of the book of Acts? We see God's people growing deep in many ways. And these are just representative. We could share many more things. But we see the growth of the depth of the church. Now, I say all of that because if that's what Jesus has done in history, then we might also expect to see this kind of depth happening with the people of God even today, even here at Wildwood. And so when we talk about having access to divine power, what I want to encourage you with today is if you are here today and you are discouraged and you do not know how you might become encouraged, take heart, friends. The Holy Spirit is active in the lives of his people and can bring encouragement where there is currently discouragement. If you are here today and you're stuck in the midst of addiction, know that the Holy Spirit is able to help you walk away from sin's temptation and walk towards faithfulness to Christ in obedience to his word. If you are here today and you're having trouble understanding aspects of God's word, be encouraged. The Holy Spirit is active in your life to guide you into an understanding of God's word. And so one of the things we can expect because Christ is at work today is that the church today would have access to the work of the Spirit in our lives. One of the other things that we are reminded of is the importance of preaching and opening God's word and studying it so that we might understand it and apply it. This is why in all of our gatherings, we open God's word, we read it, we study it. Why? Because my opinion and my words are not near as good as what is inside of this book. Therefore, what we need to hear from is God and not me. So this is true in our Sunday services. It's true in our Sunday school classes. It's true in our children's ministry and our student ministry. That's why we center on the word of God. And today might be an encouragement. If you want to be deep in the Lord, then be deep in the word of God and grow in your understanding of who God is. And know that God's desire is for you to have a personal response to the gospel, to not just hear these things and not just observe from the sidelines, but God has a desire to do a work in your life as you follow him in faith and obedience. And so this morning, even as we're hearing the stories of others, maybe God is stirring in your life to take a personal step of faith in response to him as well. And also, may we continue to be bold in our testimony, even as life is difficult and is challenging in the world that we live in. Friends, God is growing his church deep. But guess what else he's doing? This is no setup. God is not just growing the church deep, he's also growing the church wide. Okay, very good. I'm not going to trick you this time. I did a couple weeks ago, but I'm not going to today. God is also growing his church wide. And again, this is something that we see throughout the pages of the book of Acts. We see in the book of Acts a widening set of leaders. It didn't stay with just the 12, but they began to raise up others to carry on the ministry even after their time. We see this in Acts chapter 6, verses 3 and 4. Where they set aside brothers full of the Spirit and of wisdom to point to a specific duty so that the apostles might continue to devote themselves to the ministry of the word and to prayer. And so we see a widening set of leaders serving the church. We also see widening numbers as people continue to follow Christ. At the beginning of the book of Acts, there's just over 100 believers gathering together in Jesus' name. But by the end of the book of Acts, that has grown to multiple thousands. And within a couple of hundred years, it had grown to a million followers of Christ. All of these are testimonies to Jesus' statement that he would build his church and he would build it wide in growing numbers. We see that in Acts 2:47 when it says that there were people being added day by day who were being saved. But we continue on, not only did it grow in number, but it also grew to new people groups. You know, Jesus made a statement in Acts 1:8 that they would be his witnesses in Jerusalem among the Jews, but also in Samaria among the Samaritans, and to the ends of the earth even among the Gentiles. So there were various waves of movements of God's grace taking the gospel to different people groups, reminding us of God's desire not just to save one person or one type of person or one gender of person, but that God's desire was to bring to himself people from every tribe, from every tongue, and from every nation. We see this in Acts chapter 15, verse 19, the heart of the early church as they made the decision to not require the Gentiles to become Jews in order to have access to God. They said, therefore, it is our judgment that we should not trouble those of the Gentiles who turn to God. It's a representation of the fact that the church was growing wide in its reach among different people groups. But not only was it growing in a wide reach of people groups, but it also, the church was growing in geographical reach. In geographical reach. Again, in Acts 1:8, it says in Jerusalem, in Judea, Samaria, and to the remotest parts, the ends of the earth. This is a reminder that Jesus was worthy of the praise and the worship of people, regardless of where they lived. So the church was given a commission to take the gospel to the ends of the earth. Geographic reach was a part of the plan from the very beginning. So when we think of just the growth of the church growing not only deep, but also wide, again, we should expect to see some of those things inside of the church that Jesus is growing even still today. That Jesus would continue to grow the number of leaders inside of his church. People taking a step up to serve others in the name of Christ so that the ministry of Christ will continue to grow even as the numbers are growing wider. Not only do we see the growth in leadership, but also the growth in numbers. You know, today we're experiencing 30 people who have come to faith in Christ that we'll be gathering around and celebrating with their water baptism. This is, again, a reminder of the fact that the church is growing in number, even today, even as we sit today. But friends, we also need to remember that the gospel is going to the ends of the earth, and this is why we continue to have the call that we have as a church to not only reach our community, but to also partner together with others to reach those in foreign countries around the world as we have the chance to proclaim the gospel. And all of these things, friends, are just a tremendous encouragement to me. They're an encouragement to me that Jesus is, in fact, the one who is building his church. He's building it deep in our lives, and he's building it wide in his reach. And we get to be a part of it by his grace. And so hopefully over the last 10 weeks, you've had a sense of celebration as we have reflected on what God is doing around us and among us in the lives of those we know and love.